All right, everybody, welcome back to the Crypto 101 podcast presented by Gemini, your bridge to the future of money. And we got a good one today. A lot to talk about. It is one of those episodes where it's not necessarily a fun day. As I introduce our guest for the rundown today, Brian, a lot of red out there, a lot of volatility, a lot in the news flow on the macro level, which is what we're going to talk about. Specifically, the macro level seems to be driving the markets right now, but we do have a ton of specific crypto content. The New York Stock Exchange is moving toward that 24/7 trading. You heard it here first on the podcast a couple months ago when we saw the kind of smoke before fire there, but they're making some big announcements around chain links. You're going to listen to that. Brian Armstrong back in the news, kind of debating with the White House, a little back and forth. I know Brian might have a take on that. And then he talked about the 24/7 trading for the stock exchange as well. JP Morgan talking crypto. Vanguard is talking crypto. And then we talked on the episode last week with Brendan about the Mr. Beast Bitmine deal. I personally, as somebody, as you know, been in the content space in a variety of departments, think this is really fascinating. So I want to hear Brian's take on that. And then, of course, the Momentum Moneymaker update, Momentum projects, meme coins, NFTs, maybe even some trading card alpha now that we're in the NFL playoffs with Brian. He was giving me a little tease maybe for the show. But Brian, welcome. Excited to have you, even though it's a red day. But how are you, my friend?
Hey, man, it's great. Love doing the show with you. I do remember the last time I was on the Rundown show, I was drinking the Kool-Aid. I was loving life. I was like, hey, man, we're going to get to 100K. We are like 97, 98,000 Bitcoin. Things were just all falling into place, but we had a little bit of a pullback here, and I'm not too happy about it, but there's some reasons why. I think we can really point to some clear reasons why.
Truly, not hard to find, but welcome to the chat. We're live on YouTube. We got Deb. We've got Crypto Low chiming in from Florida. Grant's out there, a couple others. We appreciate everybody tuning in. The first thing we'll pull up, just like Brian said, it's not too hard to figure out what's going on here, but we do want to pull it up. It is quite the red day here. And it has been across the board for crypto and the markets in general. I think I haven't looked up in the last hour, but I know the S&P and the NASDAQ was down 1.5%, 2%. Bitcoin down almost 5%. Ethereum down 6.5%. I saw Monero was down like 25%. Woof, red day. And then the fear and greed index is always a lagging indicator, like we teach you at neutral 45 or 42 here. I guarantee you we'll be doing a live on Friday with Brendan. Unless this turns around quick, that's going to dip back into the fear. But anything on the coin market cap that you want to take a peek at, Brian, or just an overall take?
I mean, woof. I mean, Solana down almost 12% on the week. And, you know, that's nothing fundamentally, but obviously, when we get some news that's going to affect the macro markets and we're going to talk about those reasons, the stock market's down, crypto's down, crypto can get hit hard. And typically, the smaller the market cap, the harder it's going to get hit. We talk about that all the time. That Monero, you just pointed that out to me. That's interesting. I'm not sure if you saw what was going on with Monero, because I do like the privacy coin Meta. Monero is an interesting coin, but there was like, I think it was like 252 million. I might be a little bit off. That was like hacked. And then they were buying Monero to essentially wash it from the privacy side of things. So when we saw that big spike in Monero, I thought it had a lot to do with, like, you know, a change from Zcash Meta over to Monero, but it seemed like it was the hackers that were washing the coins, kind of bumped the price up. But nothing against the project. I just had to point that out. Overall, we lost 90. We were holding 90 Bitcoin. I wasn't feeling too bearish, but 89 looks like we're bleeding out right now. It could go. This is going to be a pivotal couple of days, in my opinion. A lot of news out here. We're going to talk about macro wise that I think we're starting to bleed, and why we did a pretty quick turnaround here. This all kind of started Sunday night, I think, Sunday night, yesterday, where we really started to dump, and we'll go over through some reasons why.
Yeah, first off, it was Martin Luther King Day Monday. Markets were closed. We started to bleed into Sunday night because they still do the futures, but obviously with markets being closed, Bitcoin's a good liquidity for people that want to trade and be active 24/7, which, again, we're going to talk about in a second here with the New York Stock Exchange. But before we do that, there's just some macro headlines that we have to cover. There's a Supreme Court decision around Trump's tariffs. That thing keeps getting punted and delayed, which the more that gets delayed, the more I'm like, I don't know, man. That's it. It's like people, the markets are a forward-looking mechanism, right? And it's like they can take bad news and digest it, and the price action happens, whether it's down. Usually it's down with bad news, right? Or it's good news and the market goes up. But I think what the market truly hates is not knowing. And we're just in this absolute... We'll do chili because it's the winter for those in the north, the winter out there in Denver. Me and my dad, we always used to do a big chili cook-off for Championship Sunday for football. So we just got this big chili brewing right now, Brian. We've got Supreme Court decisions. We've got Trump talking about Greenland. He wants to go. Obviously, we, you know, just talking about going in and be like, we need Greenland. Well, we'll buy it. Well, we'll take it over. It's just... It, again, the president of being the reality TV show star that he is really inflaming the world order here of how he's talking about other countries, and it's rubbing a lot of people the wrong way. And then there's this thing that he came out we didn't mention on the show yet, but this credit card cap rate where he said all credit card companies have to cap their rates at 10%. And, you know, again, politics aside, just the business world does not like this at all. Obviously, these credit card companies make a whole entire business out of charging, you know, I think right now it's like 20 to 30% some cards. And so, again, the affordability crisis that we're having in this country is some might say, well, capping credit card interest rates will help. But what the business side of things in these companies are actually saying is actually this is going to suck up quote unquote liquidity from the economy, because you're not going to cap a 10% rate on somebody who has really awful credit. What you're going to do is no longer provide them credit. So if you do force this in, again, this isn't my thought or analysis or take, this is just what I've been reading and trying to research into this topic. Was the credit card company is like, if you make this a law, like obviously we'll abide by the law, but it's not going to do what you think. You think it's going to help the little person pay less interest, but what it's really going to do is we're going to pull the credit from them. And then these businesses, again, we've showed you the charts how, you know, while assets have been hovering around all-time prices, the debt of this world has been hovering around all-time prices. So it is a volatile time to just be involved in planet Earth, which sometimes is hard to navigate, but... I think it was important to kind of build that chili pot first, Brian. Anything stick out to you on what might be affecting this price action?
We're throwing everything into this chili. We got kidney beans. We got cayenne pepper. Everything is getting thrown into this chili right now. And it's becoming a little bit of a hot mess. It might be a little too spicy for everyone out there. You make some great points with the Supreme Court court decisions. I think it's the third time they've pushed this back. So it's starting to frustrate me, because I'm like, either just don't make an announcement right now or stop making an announcement out of an announcement, because the market will react. Pull the Band-Aid off if you're going to do something. If not, I'm not exactly sure, but I would love to know some clarity behind the Supreme Court. The Greenland stuff.
New year usually means new devices. Phones, laptops, tablets, from grandma all the way down to the kids, or at least spending more time online. That's been a good reminder to actually think about digital security again. I've been using Webroot, specifically their Total Protection Plan, which is an all-in-one option if you want coverage beyond just antivirus. What stood out to me is that it combines real-time antivirus protection against things like malware and phishing scams, identity monitoring with alerts, and this is a big one, up to $1 million in expense reimbursement for eligible out-of-pocket costs if identity theft ever becomes an issue. Total Protection also includes tools like a password manager and web threat protection that blocks malicious sites before you visit them, plus options to protect multiple devices and even family members, all without slowing your system down or throwing constant pop-ups at you. So here's the deal. New year, new device. Whether you're upgrading tech or sticking with what you've got, now's the time to protect all your devices at 60% off with Webroot's trusted cybersecurity solutions. Visit webroot.com/crypto101 and get 60% off. Again, that's webroot.com, webroot.com/crypto101 for 60% off. This offer is only available through the Crypto 101 link, so make sure you use it. webroot.com/crypto101 and get up to 60% off their Total Protection Plan. This year, choose protection that's right for you and live a better digital life with Webroot. A new year, colder days. This is the moment your winter wardrobe really has to deliver. If you're craving a winter reset, start with pieces truly made to last season after season. Quince brings together premium materials, thoughtful design, and enduring quality, so you stay warm, look sharp, and feel your best all season long. Quince has everything you need. Their outerwear is especially impressive. Think down jackets, wool coats, and Italian leather outerwear that keeps you warm when it's actually cold. Each piece is made from premium materials by trusted factories that meet rigorous standards for craftsmanship and ethical production. Plus, they cut out the middleman, so you're getting awesome prices. The wool coat that I got from Quince is super stylish. It's holding up way better than other coats I've bought before, and those coats were way more expensive. It looks good, it keeps me warm, and I didn't have to drop a fortune on it. Plus, their online website is super fun to shop on. It's fun looking to peruse, to look at their outerwear, but also they have super cool shirts, workout stuff. They even have a home section. You can get stuff for your house. Their website is awesome. You have to go check it out. So guys, refresh your winter wardrobe with Quince. Go to quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's Quince, Quince.com/crypto101. Free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/crypto101. Are you interested in effortlessly growing your Bitcoin portfolio? I sure am. The Gemini credit card earns you Bitcoin back on every purchase. Use it just like any other credit card when you buy lunch, gas, or even just your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. All that with no annual fee, and right now you can grab a $200 Bitcoin welcome bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stack. Guys, you've heard us talk about Gemini now every single episode, and we love and appreciate that they've been a sponsor because we use their products, whether it's the exchange or the card. They have been leaders in the space for so long. So if you're interested in earning crypto rewards for your everyday spending, go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. See the link in the description for more information regarding rates and fees.
Issued by WebBank. To qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Some exclusions to instant rewards apply. This is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. Check Gemini's website for more details on rates and fees.
This started, what, months ago? And I almost thought it was, I did. I thought it was a joke months
kind
ago.
Kind of a joke, right?
Yeah. I was like, yeah, let's buy some countries. Let's take control of some countries nicely, not out of any, like, but now it's becoming an actual talking issue. We have like Scott Bessent coming out and talking about it. And it makes sense from a military strategic point of view. They're rich in minerals. But Europe, especially Denmark, they're refusing to sell Greenland or give control to the United States. And now Trump pretty much doubled down. He's like, well, if you're not going to support it, I'm going to slap 10% tariffs on the EU on February 1st. And if by June 1st you're still not supporting it, it goes up to 25% to leverage this Greenland deal. And I'm not sure. I don't want to get into politics behind this, why we want it, why we don't want it, what the thought process is behind it, because that's not what my expertise is. But these comments, we saw this happen in the trade war before with like China, when we're like another 100%. The markets hate that. They don't like uncertainty. That's exactly what we're getting with this Greenland stuff. And we'll see how it all kind of shakes out. I think Trump's actually speaking tomorrow. Yeah. So that's going to be extremely interesting to see what the wild card's going to say in front of the world. But we've seen this playbook a little bit before, where he threatens tariffs until he gets his way. I have no idea how this is all going to shake out, but I know as you're threatening our allies for tariffs, the overall stock market, the crypto market, especially because it can be more volatile, it's going to dip. It's going to go down. And yeah, it's probably not going to see some recovery until we get some sort of either pro or con resolution, just so the market understands what's going on.
Seeing the playbook back to the tariffs, I guess we're kind of approaching 10 months, I guess, from when that happened. But I thought it was really interesting, if we remember, we called it right on this podcast, of kind of picking who was the best mouthpiece to listen to, and it was Scott Bessent. And I saw a clip. This is just, we didn't have it on the sheet, but it just popped in my mind when we were talking about it. He had a little snippet of from Davos here saying, you know, again, same thing, don't escalate. President Trump has a strategy. So let's just hear what he's saying from that. What is the World Leadership Conference out in Davos?
4 years in, the Europeans are still financing the war against themselves.
All right, let's talk about.
But Joe, no. what I do want to say is,
yes.
Same thing that I said after Liberation Day on April 2nd.
There you go.
Everyone, take a deep breath. Do not escalate. Do not escalate. And President Trump has a strategy here. Hear him out, and then everything will be fine.
I mean, it does seem like, and this is just pure speculation, it just does seem like that it's just such a new way of leading. We're so used to the White House and the presidential office just being so regal in a way, movie-like in a way. And this is not. This is not movies. This is not going to the theater and the Oscars and the popcorn and you watch the two-hour film. This is reality TV, social media style that they're running this administration, where it's just staying in the news, new things, curveballs coming every day. There's not one event. It's every single day. I think that's actually a pretty good thought process of how to think of this, is it's not a movie. It's like new age social media, in-your-face reality TV almost. And I don't know. I don't have. Yeah, I mean, you can trust him. You cannot trust him. It's hard. It's hard playbook. It's why you listen to this show. And a perfect transition of we try. Like we told this on Brian and I were a little not upset, but we're just like, man, like we don't want to talk politics. Like we really don't. But this, it's just where this industry is right now. It's just so just ingrained in the weekly a flow of how this industry is going and growing. But let's be honest. When Trump took office and we were all on board for that Trump trade, like, hey, this is good for crypto. The other party doesn't seem to be, you know, about want to do this. And on the campaign trail, Trump's going to the Bitcoin conferences. So we kind of are all like, hey, this is good for our industry. This is good for our bags, for lack of a better term. And it was after the election day, there was a huge shoot up in Bitcoin. We've covered the Coinbase stock, the Robinhood stock, all the other, you know, Bitcoin stocks did really well. However, since he's taken office, I believe it was one year ago to the day almost, and I'm going to bring this up just to keep, we got to keep everybody honest. Like we had some commenters like, and again, because it's such a polarizing issue that we try not to be political of like, these are our political beliefs. We're just trying to tell the story of crypto and be a crypto community for everybody. And that's where it was. And maybe it came across as positive Trump, but let's pull up the scoreboard now, because it certainly is not. And for all those people that criticized us, like, hey, I'll say it, like it's not working right now. A year to the date, Bitcoin down 13%, ETH down 5%, SOL down 50%. We remember the meme coin craze. On the bottom there, you see Melania down 98.8%, the Trump coin down 82%. You know, just take your pick there. And so I think we've told this, credit to me, great take was, if you want to win the midterms, if you want the crypto vote, which they leaned heavily on for the election, if you want that in the midterms, you got to turn this story around, because this is gonna start grinding. It already is grinding people. We're in the industry. We see it. And it's going to keep grinding people down. And if you can't turn this story around as a whole, like don't come tapping on the crypto industry for your votes. But any quick hot takes there, Brian?
Oh, I mean, you nailed it. We're down, and we're kind of down bad since this all went down about a year ago. There, now we've seen our fair share of high points and, you know, had our own celebrations, and we had some opportunities to get out with some major profits. I'm still more bullish on the crypto industry than ever. Just want everybody to know that. I think there's a lot of reasons why to be extremely bullish. We're going to talk about it. But the fact is that prices are down right now. And I do think this, the one thing is the past administration, the big knock on them is that they weren't doing anything. They just, nothing was happening. We were just the feet stuck in the water. It's just another 4 years. Now it does feel like Trump's just doing all the things. We're cutting credit card rates. We're buying countries. We're taking over. I mean, it's just, there's a lot going on right now, but the market's down. And I agree with you, is the midterms are going to be a big point upcoming. And if he wants support from the crypto industry or just overall the financial markets, unless you're in gold and silver right now, heavy, you're probably feeling some pain. And I wanna be like, man, they have a plan. They have a path here for us to succeed. We know this can turn around pretty quickly as well. This Greenland stuff and just all the other items that we're going to talk about. it is only a couple pieces of news that could come out to really turn the market very bullish and we run very hard. But right now, it doesn't look great.
Right. And I don't want, I think you teed it up perfectly. We still are bullish. And that's kind of the part of this show where it's like, hey, we're getting all this out of the way just to say, like, if you don't think I'm excited about where Bitcoin is at and starting to do my weekly buys, like me and Brendan talk about all the time, is there's just too much data to be like, all right, if you want to throw in the towel now, you can. But then there's tons of positive news data. I'm going to bring up some Bitcoin stats. We've got some Chainlink stuff with 24/7 trading, and this tokenization of the quote unquote the world coming on chain seems to be the playbook of like, okay, well, what projects are actually going to bring utility to that happening and how can we take advantage? So let's pull up the Bitcoin stat here. So I thought this one was really fun. This is the first time in history that Bitcoin valuation against gold hits an RSI of 30. Happened in the 2015 bear market, 2018, 2022. I can enlarge this a little bit. It's just, it kind of, it's highlighting. So you see the green, if you zoom in there, you can see the green on those is, this is when the RSI hits 30 for Bitcoin valuation of gold. So over Bitcoin's timeline, it's like, okay, gold runs up and then Bitcoin catches up. So, you know, geez, gold and silver has been on an absolute tear, but at what point will Bitcoin catch up? How violent will it be? And I saw somebody kind of discussing it. It's like, it's not even a catch-up trade as much as it would be like a repricing. And so when this does happen, again, we don't have a crystal ball, but like if this does happen, it's not a slow catch-up. It's more just saying, okay, this is a repricing. So I thought that was a fun stat. And then this came out the other day. New York Stock Exchange is building its 24/7, you know, trading, which we've talked about on the program before, but it looks like they're going to partner and use Chainlink for it, which I think is a huge vote of confidence for Chainlink. And some interesting news just around how fast, you know, the NYSE seems to be going forward to this. I know we've talked about it before, but when they start choosing projects to build on top of, you can tell it's kind of in the motions.
This news is huge in my opinion. We have the New York Stock Exchange, one of the biggest financial players of the entire world, and they're going on chain. I mean, there couldn't be a bigger vote of confidence for crypto. Now, there is this other side of discussion where I've heard people argue that if stocks are 24/7, is that going to hurt or replace crypto? I think I'm a strong no there, and I don't want to spend the entire rundown talking why, but I think the key point here is very important, is the New York Stock Exchange is starting to echo the same vibe of what we've always said in crypto, 24/7 trading, on-chain metrics, transparency. They're moving forward. What blows my mind, and when I saw this Chainlink news, I'm a big fan of Chainlink. I think it's a very interesting coin. It's something I personally hold, but it's down 5% on this news. In better market conditions, this sucker's up 40% a year ago. So you can see how big this overall macro news can really just depress even the most bullish headlines out there.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And I think that what was going on, sorry, I didn't tee up what is happening in Davos this week. It is the World Economic Forum. So it's, you know, all the richest of the rich people and the businesses and the banks and the politicians are all getting together to have this conference, and it's a big mouth. I call it mouthpiecing. It's just everybody has their speeches. Like you said, Trump is tomorrow, but I think we have another clip here talking about So the tokenization of stocks is good for crypto. It's Brian Armstrong, who has been jockeying, if you will, with the White House recently over the crypto bill, which we covered last week. But let's see what he is talking about in regards to tokenization.
If everybody can do the same thing, what happens in the end?
Customers win.
New York Stock Exchange just announced yesterday a new platform that I imagine will compete with you to some degree, a new tokenized platform. Everybody seems to be introducing all sorts of programs that frankly look a lot like things that Coinbase does. And I wonder just what you think the whole industry looks like, you know, a year or two or three from now in terms of what you're doing relative to what everyone's doing. And by the way, at the same time that you're trying to get into everybody else's business.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was thrilled to see that. I think New York Stock Exchange announcing their interest in tokenized equities is just one more data point of that crypto is updating the financial system, and we want everyone to be able to do that and make our capital markets more efficient.
But does it take the moat away from everybody's business? If everybody can do the same thing, mm-hmm. what happens in the end?
Customers win with competition. I mean, we shouldn't have policies being created in the United States that favor one set of companies over another. There should be clear rules of what's allowed, what's not, and then everyone competes. That's how the customer benefits.
I actually really like that soundbite, to be honest, because it kind of goes back to how, you know, some of these old guards, especially the brokerages, haven't innovated. And we've kind of, especially as a crypto industry, we've, you know, bashed a little bit more Vanguard maybe than the others because they were really outspoken about the Bitcoin ETFs. But we've talked on this program about even just their UI, like, you know, like these, some of these UIs haven't changed in 10 years, 15 years, and they're slow. And then, so you have, you know, the Coinbases of the world, the Robinhoods of the world, the Webulls, like they're bringing in fresh ideas. They're bringing in fresh UIs and they're growing with the times. Like we, you know, we're all on our phones 24/7. So, and it, you know, the whole reason because of that is the UI is intriguing to play with and be around, whether it's games or content or anything. Like that's why the phone is so addicting. And so these experiences with the money managers just feels like a picture of an old man in a tuxedo with a pipe, you know, just smoking and being like, hey, yeah, give us your money. Huh? It's part of the system. Huh? You know, 8% a year. Huh? And so, you know, again, obviously Brian Armstrong wants Coinbase to win the battle and have its, you know, be really successful and make all the money. But I agree with saying like, hey, like we want rules of the road here for everybody to be competitive, because that's, at the end of the day, that's what a free market is.
Well said. I mean, you absolutely nailed it. And, you know, Brian Armstrong's been popping up on the feed and the news quite a bit recently around the Clarity Act and obviously the market structure bill, which kind of go hand in hand, and how that's been delayed. And there's certain crypto industry leaders that want to still support the Clarity Act where it stands, but Armstrong has come out and, you know, basically pulled support. And I think that really ticked off the White House as well, it seemed like, to the point where Brian Armstrong had to go on Twitter and say, no, we were having great conversations. I think there'll be a resolution. But it sounds like the White House is kind of upset that Coinbase is pulling support. I don't know enough details. I know a lot about it, but I don't know enough details of the inner workings. I know it's around the stable coins and the yield, and I'm for yield and stable coins. And I think Brian Armstrong probably has the crypto users, you know, he's representing us in an interesting way. But I see a lot of pro-crypto people still supporting this Clarity Act. I think that's another reason why we're seeing this price go down, is that we're seeing a lot of uncertainty around the Clarity Act. And now we're having Armstrong and the White House kind of go back and forth. And this is happening in real time. Mm-hmm. We talk about it all the time. We literally see this news happening in front of us as it's going on and the price reacts. So I don't know. But that clip from Brian Armstrong was great. And I'm pretty hopeful that we get everything worked out. And this is part of negotiating tactics. But we'll see.
Well, if you peel back the onion layer by layer by layer, it starts to get more bullish the more you peel back, in my opinion. The surface layer is a little hectic and volatility, especially at the macro layer. That's the first layer of this provisional onion. And you keep peeling it back and peeling it back. And I just continue to see bullish things and more adoption, which we're going to get to in a second. But I did want to give a shout out to everybody in the chat again. We have a friend from London, Crypto. I have this Crypto Low all the way from London. That's unbelievable. Or no, UTU all the way from London. Thank you guys. Crypto Lowe's in here asking questions. We'll get to the questions at the end. So pile them in there. And also give it a like and subscribe if you're new. It really helps us grow the channel. And we'll get to your questions at the end. But, I mean, for this year, our friends at Bitwise are saying that 99% of financial advisors who allocated to crypto in 2025 plan to increase or maintain their exposure. So let me pull up this tweet from Matt Hogan. And again, this is research from our Bloomberg friends. Only 1% is looking to decrease. So again, there's more money coming in. And I had a second. Let's see. Let's run down these links here. The other one was JP Morgan. You love it. Jamie Crypto Diamond, your favorite, your guy. For, you know, they're saying that, hey, crypto inflows are likely to rise to more than $130 billion a year. That's JP Morgan. Again, this is all stuff that's happening this week. This is all news that's coming out this week in the face of all this volatility. So it's hard not to continue to be bullish. I know at the top of the show, a lot of people and Brian kind of tried to, you know, reeled it in. It's like, hey, like all this negativity, but we're still bullish. This is why. These are the breadcrumbs that are leading us to this type of conviction. And none other than Vanguard, the one that we just shit on. I mean, Vanguard is for its value index fund is now buying MicroStrategy, which we always thought didn't make any sense. You couldn't go on and buy the Bitcoin ETFs. They wouldn't even have them, but that their holders had huge, huge holdings of Vanguard as a clearinghouse. They had tons of shares of Vanguard, and now they're buying them for their value index fund. So, again, the breadcrumbs are there. Maybe not at a macro level, which again is kind of keeping us down here. But that's what I found for us this episode, Brian, of bullish takeaways. Any thoughts?
No, I think it's just us. We say it all the time. It's us zooming out a little bit, realizing that financial advisors, wealth managers, institutions. I mean, they're still very interested and they're still buying the crypto, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana. We're seeing a lot of interest there. We have the 401k allocations that are going to come about. So when you zoom out, we're just so reactionary in the crypto world. And it's just what I was saying earlier, is that we get this news just shoved down our throat that we're raising we have a tariff war incoming because Europe isn't on board with us buying Greenland. So of course the price is going to react. But when you zoom out and take a step back, New York Stock Exchange is going on chain 24/7. They're embracing crypto. Money managers, financial advisors. I got some really close friends that if I asked them 3 years ago their thoughts on Bitcoin, their financial planners and money managers, they would laugh in my face. Now, each and every one of them pretty much has some sort of exposure, or I know they're looking to get exposure, or at least when we talk, they have a sincere interest in learning more because they're getting educated by their firms about why crypto and blockchain is going to be a disruptive technology. So it's tough. Nobody loves volatility in the moment because it's gross. You know, we're down 5% on Chainlink, but they signed a huge partnership with the New York Stock Exchange. It doesn't make any sense. But this will all come out in the wash, and things are going to be a lot more bullish down the line than they are today. But we can just see this is what we do. This is why we break it down, and this is why we have to keep a level head. When we get opportunities to buy, sometimes you take those opportunities, and this feels like it.
Yeah. And speaking of zooming out, credit to friend of the show, Ziggy, at Ziggy Always. Just randomly, I think this was Sunday night. What's the timestamp here? 18th. So yeah, it was Sunday night when the futures opened, like we said at the top of the show, and everything started tanking. He just tweets at us. When in doubt, zoom out. Buy the dip, boys. That's great. So shout out Ziggy, as we do say on the show a lot. When in doubt, you zoom out. That's how it works.
Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Kachava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at kachava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's Kachava, KACHAVA.com, code FITNESS.
I wanted to get Brian's take on the Mr. Beast thing. So if you listened to our episode last week with Brendan, BitMine invested into Beast Industries, which was quite fascinating to hear break down. Just to keep covering the Bitcoin, I mean, it's like automatic at this point. We don't even really talk about it that much. But BitMine, I believe, is about 75% to their way to collect and buy and hold 5% of the Ethereum supply. They're about 75% of the way there. They're staking it. They bought more this week, as they seem to every week. But I wanted to get your take on the Mr. Beast thing. I just find it fascinating from a content creator perspective. Obviously, he has these kind of goals, it sounds like, to get into the finance industry. That's not a secret anymore. But BitMine coming in and getting a stake in it. What are your thoughts off the jump there, bro?
Yeah, what was this, like a $200 million equity investment in the Beast Industries, right? Yeah, this was big news in my opinion. I love this. I know Mr. Beast, he filed, it's like you said, it's pretty public about like Beast Financial Services, and he's talking about rolling out a crypto wallet and doing a lot of things in the world of crypto. And that should just make everyone right there very bullish on crypto in the long term, because we have one of the biggest content or creators in the world with hundreds of thousands, millions of views, that's excited for the world of crypto. Then we got good old Tom Lee. You said 75%. Yeah, I think I read they bought like $110 million worth of Ethereum, $100 million a week. They're at like 3.5% Ethereum. And now they're taking some of their money and they're investing it into one of the biggest content creators of all time, probably the biggest content creator of all time. So just with his massive audience in mainstream for crypto adoption, I love this partnership. I would love to know some details behind it. I know Mr. Beast is there's been a lot of rumors about what he's trying to build in the crypto world. I'm certainly going to be paying attention, because I think this just goes to show another reason why we're bullish on this long term. That's a big investment. I know Tom Lee likes to throw hundreds of millions of dollars around, but $200 million to a content creator is a huge investment. What are your thoughts? I missed the show on Monday, so I don't know.
Man, I just think that him being the biggest creator in the world, that stat was shocking. I didn't know this, but it was like he gets more views in a month than the Super Bowl. So every month he gets more than the Super Bowl. Yeah, crazy. And so, I mean, I think it's a two-way street. I definitely don't think it means like, oh, my God, like Ethereum's going to 10K tomorrow on this news. I think this is a slow burn, almost like a fuse. I think this is a long fuse. And if this works out, and it's just like any business venture, it could work, it could not. But if this is something that if Beast Industries and Beast Financial is going, you know, to try to do that, it's kind of like how X has been saying that X wants to do payments and X wants to do investing and all that. So it's like, how many of these will actually come up and be a player? It's hard to say. But if it does work in some way, it's hard not to think that a discussion like, $200 million is just something you throw around. Like, that's sitting down and going through investor presentations and decks, and you're sitting down with a lot of people that manage this type of capital, and you're having these conversations of what's the future. And so we're not privy to those conversations, obviously. We don't have a stake in this company. But when you're talking about what is to come with this investment, how could it not be based around building something on Ethereum, right? Like, that's just kind of the natural flow of like what I think that investment conversation was. Like, I don't think BitMine goes in and it could be, again, we do not know. We don't have the transcripts of these conversations, but if Tom Lee sits down with Jimmy and his team and he's like, oh yeah, we want to build the next financial system on Solana. Like, I don't think BitMine's giving them $200 million. I think the conversation was around Ethereum. And then I do have a little nugget here that I didn't prep you for, but I'm sharing this tab now, is that a fascinating retweet by Tom Lee from Chamath from the All In podcast. Like, again, a huge billionaire, entrepreneur multiple times over, has been on everything from Shark Tank to now the All In podcast, number one business podcast in the entire world, is now saying, oh, wow, it's so interesting that all this talk about Beast Industries is happening. Oh, by the way, I haven't really talked about this, but 5 years ago, I invested in a Series A that created Beast Industries by bringing together all of Jimmy's various business interests under one umbrella. The Beastables or the Feastables or whatever they're called, the chocolate bars, the YouTubes, the this and the that, the Walmart partnerships, all that. Oh, Chamath randomly apparently invested in this 5 years ago, and he hasn't talked about it. So again, throw another huge big time investor. But I think the most important thing is I find it really fascinating that in the last 5 years, I don't think this is necessarily connected as like Mr. Beast is you know, producing the All In podcast. But it is really interesting that that podcast has grown so much over the last 5 years, and he's also invested in a YouTuber. Like, this content thing is, I've been saying this for years, which is why, you know, I was out in Hollywood and transitioned into the social media YouTube thing, ended up at Barstool. I kind of saw where the puck I thought was going, and it worked out. But this is where the puck's going. Our president is a reality star TV. Like, it's all we thought. It's like, I'm serious. We talked about it this episode earlier. It's like, guys, this is where the puck's going. Like, if you're going to sit there and be like, oh, the YouTube guy wants to, you know, have a financial services. Yeah, right. Oh, the Twitter guy, Elon, wants to turn it into a bank. Yeah, right. I'm like, I don't know, man. These banks, these traditional guards, the old guard might have been caught on their heels a little bit of where the future's going, how fast it's going. And so, again, Tom Lee, huge megaphone in the investors. Chamath, huge megaphone with the number one business podcast in the world. That podcast also has the crypto czar and AI czar on it, right? Like, start connecting the pieces of the puzzle. And I know this was a little bit of a long rant. I didn't necessarily have it planned. I was just connecting the dots in my head. It's like, this is fascinating for this crypto storyline. Again, the fuse is long. You know, when will it be lit and how long will it take to go to blast off? But if all those pieces connect, of all these people that are huge investors, control a lot of capital, and then have this reach of influence, it's quite a storyline.
This is why you're the MVP of the company. This is why you're the MVP, man. You know it. We talk about this a lot offline of how important you are, because content's king. People come to view content now through, I mean, how often do we talk about, like, hey, we saw Bitcoin price or this news on CNN or CNBC? It's like, never. We're like, oh, we found this great thread from Chamath or Tom Lee on Twitter. Content is king right now. This is a huge investment, and I love this move by Bitmine and Mr. Beast. I think it's just like, if there's ever a day that you're just like, is this crypto thing really not going to work out? Like, if you really have that go through your mind, you need to just kind of take a step back and be like, wait a minute. Like, yes, it's going to work out. It's going to be volatile, but there's a lot of smart, well-off, very educated people that are doubling and tripling down on this. So seeing this $200 million investment from BMNR or Bitmine into Mr. Beast, and then finding out that Chamath was, you know, handing out $45 million 5 years ago to help grow the business as well, just is a great point of why you're the MVP of the company.
And I appreciate that. That's too kind. But I'll tell you who else is the MVP. It's the absolute viewers on our live. We didn't promote it today to our email chain, so it's not a huge attendance. That's all right. Came in miscommunicated. We'll do it later this week, and we'll get a big audience in here. But we do have people, and it's just been growing nonstop. I'm looking at the chart, Brian. It's up and to the right, unlike the markets today. Our viewers have been growing. So we really appreciate you. They seem to have liked that rant. Guys. About Mr. Beast and Bitmine. So give us a thumbs up, subscribe. And now it's time, when you attend and why you attend, for when Brian's here, is the Momentum Moneymakers, NFT, meme coins, all the fun stuff. We need an update from our guy, Brian. It is time for that. And if you're interested in more and you want to learn more about their first alerts, check out the link below. It's for the Momentum Moneymakers. I put a link there for everybody to get more information about Brian and Joe's private community. But Brian, let's start it off with a little footy. Pengu, when is it not in the news, pairing up with Premier League's Man City?
Yeah, Manchester United, or Manchester City,
no,
I should say.
Don't say that in the streets of London. You'll get pulled apart. The lads have you. The lads will take you out of the pub out back if you ever say that again. My God.
Might owe everyone a beer in London. But Manchester City, I mean, yeah, when aren't they in the news? What we need is the price of Pengu to go up. But again, the best comparison I can give everyone right now is the New York Stock Exchange made a huge announcement with Chainlink, a crypto that is well vetted, been out for years and years and years. Is one of the most popular cryptos in the entire book. They make this huge announcement about how they're integrating with Chainlink and they're down 5%. Makes no sense. Just as long, whoever from the Pudgy Penguin teams is listening, if you're listening, just keep doing what you're doing, because I know this is going to pop off at the right time. They're much bigger than a meme coin. I say it all the time. Love to see this partnership, but We need to get this Greenland and Clarity Act in the back seat and off to the races for it to really take off.
Yeah, our friend from London said, "Be careful, Brian."
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, my bad there. Maybe you can vouch for me whenever I'm in London. Be like, this guy doesn't know anything.
I will. I got some plugs. I got some plugs in the Arsenal camp. I'll tell them that you're good. They won't get you. They won't get you.
That's so good.
All right, next news up. Polymarket is at all-time high. Something that, again, it was you. You were one of the first ones to be in this betting market stuff and saying that this was a super cycle, and it most certainly is.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, this is a bigger super cycle than I was even imagining. I knew them integrating with sports was going to be big. I knew that – we all knew that, like, election times are going to be big. Going into midterms is going to absolutely pop off. But it's continuing to just dominate news cycles as well. I'm looking forward to this Poly token. I know we haven't had a lot of we've heard their CMO mention it several times, even recently, but we have no clear indication when that's happening. But as you can see, Google search is up for Polymarket. I like the Google search, like, metrics. I think it's a very interesting metric. I know a lot of people can knock it, but I think it gives a good sentiment of what people are thinking and what people are talking about. And then to just double down on that, I've had more questions about Polymarket over the past few days than I've had since the election, just from normies. Like, my dad was asking me, "Hey, what's this Polymarket stuff?" I was like, "Thanks for tuning into the rundown, Dad." But it's very interesting. It's continuing to grow. I even threw a link in down below there because we've seen some fluctuation with the Clarity Act here. And it was a rundown show when you and Brendan were on, and you guys were talking about the Clarity Act being signed in 2026, dipped all the way to 19%. And I'm over here working on my one monitor, heard you guys say that. And I'm like, wait, what? And I jumped over to Polymarket, not financial advice, but I put my own wager in at 19%. I'm still up on that trade. And we bounced back to like an 80% chance, but now we're back down to 40. So feels low to me, but I get it with, like, you know, the back and forth between the White House and Brian Armstrong. I guess we are more of a coin flip with this right now, but hats off to you and Brendan calling this out live.
Yeah, you owe a couple people a beer. You owe some people in London a beer. You owe me and Brendan a beer. I remember that that episode well. I was just like, yeah, I mean, 19%. I would take that action. That's going to move back probably.
Your guy was all over it. I was firing into it. Connected to MetaMask.
I don't know. If there's people really like the sports stuff, maybe we could mix it into the show more. But there was a hot buy after that Bo Nix injury for Patriots to the Super Bowl that I gave out on the betting markets as well in the private text chat with you and the guys at the office. So. Yeah, I mean, just again, another resource to use just for whether you're gathering news or you want to place wagers or manage risk. There's a lot going on there. I've also seen Pump Fun on the timeline. The Pump Fun kind of the tokens bouncing around. It's back, but the people are trying to build. What do you got on Pump Fun?
Yeah, the Pump Fun stuff's really interesting. This is Alan who just made an announcement here that they're now, I think it's $3 million. Yeah, $3 million into coin startups back into their own platform. So it sounds like, I don't want to say they're moving away from meme coins, but it's interesting that they're introducing this $3 million build in public hackathon. So they want to bring this pump fund, this $3 million for people to build in public, post it on Twitter, do whatever they can. They're even incentivizing people to stream more utilizing the pump.fund streaming. Interesting to see because I think Pump.fun is still a really interesting platform. I love to see that they're starting to think outside of the box, out of just meme coins, and then they were going towards the streaming, and now they're taking $3 million to have people build actual crypto projects in public so we can all follow it. It probably has a lot to do with like MetaDAO and how they've been doing some interesting things, but Pump.fun with some big announcements here. And we're going to see how this is all going to shake out. I don't know what the dates are of this hackathon. I had it written down, but I don't see it in the thread here. But I know it's happening soon. So they're trying to optimize their existing ecosystem and expand it with actual real-world building projects. So they're moving a little bit out of the meme coin.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta adapt and build and bring utility. I think that's even something that you guys preach in the momentum, you know, moneymakers community is it's not, yeah, there's the memes and there's the culture of it and there's the trades and the action, but the ones that you guys seem to be super consistent on talking about are trying to build real things and be a part of real things, whether it's Pudgy Penguin with the NHL or Pudgy Penguin now with soccer and Man City. And then our next topic is Rec Drinks, which I know you guys love. Looks like they're at Giant Eagle, which is a chain of grocery stores in different places across the U.S.
Oh yeah, bring that tweet up. So this guy's a legend. I have no idea who it is, and I'm going to speculate it's true because he has some proof there. But he bought 75 cases of Rec Drink Giant Eagle, and then he got what, 3.3 billion wrecked, which was worth over $1,100. So he got all those Rec Drinks free and made money. So that's the world of Web3 and Web2 colliding, where you buy a 4-pack of Rec Drinks in Giant Eagle for, I think it was like $7.99 or something. You go there, you check out, utilizing the Base app, they give you a coupon to redeem, and then you can, you know, essentially get Rec tokens, which are worth real money. You can insta-sell it right there and then if you wish. And a lot of people went after it. They exceeded their sales for good reason. I mean, when you're making money buying a product, if you're somewhat crypto savvy, no wonder you're going to exceed your sales. But they absolutely crushed it. And I think we're going to see more and more brands continue to do this. But I love what Rec's doing. It's kind of Rekt and Pengu are my two brand coins that I love. And it's great to see that this was such a huge success.
Yeah, I mean, again, real products, real utility is something that the space probably needs now more than ever. Again, when the market's hot a year ago and all these meme coins are flying and you got to pick and choose where you want to go. We remember the days of, you know, whether it was Trump launching his coins or with Dave Portnoy doing the greed stuff. That was, you know, a fascinating time. And it's not the first time that we've seen it. And my guess is it's not the last time that we've seen it. But the ones that make it through cycles are ones that bring utility and have stay. So I agree. I think it's a fascinating concept.
Yeah, and that last link I have, I threw on there, and I think we should bring this chart up. I've never talked about this coin with our community. You and I actually, no, not that one. No, it should be linked on the sheet here under Deck Screener.
Yeah, that's it.
What?
Okay, it's BFS.
Yeah, I'm clicking and it's bringing up a $28 million market cap. Oh, do you have a different? I just see green for some reason. It's absolutely crashing. Run from 70 million to 28 million.
I'm not sure. Let me see. I'm on the day chart. Let me go to the 15-minute chart.
Yeah, go to like a 15 or hour minute. So this BFS token, this is not a recommendation to buy this token because it's a Beast Financial Services. And there's been a lot of things going on in TikTok and Twitter right now where people are saying this is the Mr. Beast token for his financial services. I've also reached out to quite a few people when this was going up, and it sounds like this is an absolute rug. I'm not sure. I don't want to be associated with it because I can't really find out what's going on, but I know he's claimed not to have any part of this token. And it doesn't really line up. I think if it's truly like a token he wants to launch in the future, he'll probably do it in a much more methodical way. It's not going to be a stealth launch. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking at a different chart here. It went from earlier today, just a couple hours ago, it was at 70 million, and it just crashed down to 28.4 million. So it's absolutely fine.
Right, I thought I was sharing. I finally got it zoomed out to a five-minute chart. That's my fault. There we go.
So this is why we have to be so careful in the meme coin world. We can all get caught up, and sometimes we get caught up in like a meta's running hot. It's an actual real product or a real meme or something going on, but there's just a tension there. So the price is just going off and you get all this FOMO, you want to buy in, and then eventually the rug will get pulled from under us or just massive amount of like insiders will take profit or just the meta dies off. This screams, and this, I put this on our sheet when it was at like 70 million. I was like, we just got to look at this chart because it looks like a rug. And when I clicked on it before you brought it up, I was like, all right, pretty much confirmed it might be a rug because it lost $40 million of market cap in just about a few hours, in 1 hour here. So just wanted to bring it up that things can be real shaky out there. If things seem too good to be true, sometimes they probably are. because this coin was getting a lot of attention on TikTok. It was getting picked up on Twitter, but any of my inner circles or people that are really close to crypto weren't really that familiar with it. And then when we all started digging into it, we're like, man, nobody we know is associated to this. It just felt like a rug. I hope it's not for people's sake, but it doesn't look good right now.
Yeah. No, well, thanks for bringing it up. I know I saw it in the mix on social media and sent it to you and be like, hey, what's going on here? I'm seeing a lot of this. And you said it. Glad we could get it out there for the people. Be careful of this one. Again, not a recommendation of any sorts from any part of our team. But let's get some questions and then we'll end on a fun, positive note. So some questions from the chat. Do you think, again, nothing we say is personal financial advice. Our first one from Crypto Low. Do you think it's too late to invest in gold? Do you think it's going down soon, or do you think it's going to continue to go up? Again, we don't have a crystal ball, but I can bring up the price of gold for you. Again, this chart is starting to look like an old one.
I know, man.
Pretty freaking parabolic, man. I mean, it's especially on that 1 year, it's like 72. The 5 year here, pretty parabolic. I just think it's a good trade to get across the globe for when things are getting super volatile. And kind of like we talked about, what I had on the chart there was, hey, when I'll bring this back up. It's kind of the gold versus Bitcoin is like, hey, the valuation against gold's hit an RSI of 30. That means that gold has gotten so, you know, the price is pumped so far for gold and Bitcoin's lagged behind. And you can kind of see on this chart, every time that happens, what happens, you know, I guess this is about a year to 2 years right here is a year and a half. So what happens every time that this RSI signal has triggered against the value of gold and Bitcoin, a year and a half later, Bitcoin rips. And when Bitcoin rips, it rips traditionally more than gold. So you can see here, if I go back to the gold price, and we don't have Brendan, our chart master. Maybe I can get him to do a segment with us on Friday when he comes. But if you come back for gold, yeah, the 1 year is 72 and the 5 year here is 156. But you don't even need to go back to 5 years to get that type of return from Bitcoin. If you go to the 5 year on Bitcoin, yeah, it's at 178. But what if you were buying the dip when everybody was panicking and said the industry was over at 16 to 20,000? You have a 5X. That's 500% returns, right? So, you know, Bitcoin presents, again, the volatility is an opportunity, is what this asset class has taught us. You know, you got to do your research and you got to pick and choose whether you're a buy, whether you're hodling. Are you hodling and buying the dip? Are you a trader? You got to figure out what that is for you. And we can't, you know, personally financially advise you to what your strategy should be. But again, for 5 years, your 5 year return is 156%. Back in 2022, you could have got a 500%, a five bagger just by buying Bitcoin. So that's what this new age asset and the 24/7 trading and the volatility has given this space is in comparison to gold. We can't tell you whether it's going to go up and down, but kind of, I would say the stats and the research show, at least for the lifetime of Bitcoin, that there's some type of catch up and repricing. And when it happens, it's quite volatile.
Yeah. There's some stats out there where, you know, when gold and silver, especially when it starts to run, there's always a catch up trade with Bitcoin a few weeks or months later. I'm a crypto guy. I'm a digital gold guy. I'm not going to knock anybody buying physical gold. I mean, obviously, people are flocking to it because it's a safe haven. And for all the macro reasons we mentioned above, you know, the overall market, stock markets, tech stocks, crypto, everyone's getting a little scared. So they're flocking to gold and silver. But I don't think that's going to last forever. I think this is definitely its time to shine. It's a great investment for a lot of reasons. It's scarcity and its utility. But I'm a Bitcoin bull.
Yeah, I think that's our take for the show and the team overall. Bitcoin bulls from our friend in London. What crypto events are you guys attending this year or would suggest attending? I know that, I mean, I've been to Consensus. I've always enjoyed Consensus. I loved when it was in Austin. We didn't go last year. It was in Toronto. I believe this year is in Miami, and we all know that.
Yeah.
We all know Tiva's been seen and spotted down in Miami from time to time. So that could be something that I might be attending. I believe that's in May. We'll keep you posted on that if we're going to make the trip down south to Miami. But the Bitcoin conferences are good. I know that one was in Nashville. 2 years ago was Nashville, maybe. This year was Vegas.
I think it's again in Vegas. Bitcoin 2026 in Vegas. So
yeah, that one's Consensus. Yeah, those are the two big ones, I think.
Yeah, I'm personally going to ETH Denver because I live in Colorado and got some connections. But I went last year. It's probably bigger for like builders and devs and hackathons. Just a really strong Ethereum culture. But I really enjoyed it. But my two, if I could just pick any, would be either Consensus because it's in Miami, or Bitcoin in Las Vegas would be a lot of fun too. Those would be my top two, but I am going to go to ETH Denver. So if anybody in the chat could be at ETH Denver, I need to know and buy a cup of coffee.
Yeah, they asked about the token events. I know they're all over the world, the different token ones. I've heard great things about them. It's just, again, with everything that we do between the research and having our community and keeping everything up to date and doing the podcast, it is hard for us to, take the team and take, a full week off and travel internationally. But I know Bryce, our fearless leader, Bryce does a lot more kind of hitting these and reporting back to us, especially for the investor type ones. Like I know he got invited to New York City for like a specific investor type one. So, well, obviously anything that we do, we'll report back and all that. But yeah, the token events are good. And I think if you attend any of those, you'll have a fun time. We'll end on a positive note here. Shout out to Steak and Shake of all places. Have you ever been to Steak and Shake?
I have. I grew up in Pennsylvania. They had them out there. They're pretty good, man. Have you?
I haven't. I feel like I've definitely seen one. I mean, I've traveled all over the country, so I've definitely seen them, but I never ran in there. But it's on my radar now. Next time I see it, I'm definitely gonna have to go. So they implemented 8 months ago today. Steak and Shake launched its burger to Bitcoin transformation when we started accepting Bitcoin payments. Let's see, our same store sales have risen dramatically ever since. So they're again tapping on the Bitcoin community. Sounds like they're coming in. They're enjoying some steaks. They're enjoying some shakes. And the Bitcoin sales that they make go into their strategic Bitcoin reserve. But they've increased their exposure by 10 million. So that's super exciting. It's a self-sustaining system. Again, I think it's just genius. Obviously, we are Bitcoin bulls, so we think it's a good idea overall. But again, just a great marketing thing, a fun thing to do. You're joining the community, and they do accept Bitcoin if you want to go buy a burger with some Bitcoin. And I think that kind of wrapping up on that, I think that is something that the administration could and should try to look into is maybe some tax-free transactions. If you want to go like allow businesses to accept crypto payments, or maybe the Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, whatever, you want to pick some winners there, because we all know the administration likes to pick winners in these businesses and investments. But make it tax-free or something. Make it like actual legal tender. I think that would be super exciting. People would love that. And any final thoughts there for Steak and Shake or the overall take?
I like Steak and Shake. I don't have any around me now, but I love what they're doing. I know probably more than I should about this whole strategic Bitcoin reserve and Steak and Shake. There was something that they, in quite a few of the restaurants, or it's like a diner setup. It's not so much fast food. It's like a diner setup. And you go in there, and they started accepting Bitcoin at several of their stores. And I think those stores in particular were all up on an average of like 10 to 15%. And they were taking a substantial amount of the Bitcoin that they got from sales, and they were putting it in their strategic reserve. So not only did they put another 10 milli into their reserve, they're taking some of their money, and the stores that offer the Bitcoin sales are up. I think it's super unique. I think you're really attracting younger crypto-oriented, digital-oriented younger individuals. And I'll tell you what, man, just because of this news, I get it, I'm probably like one of the few, but just because of this news, if I had a Steak and Shake around me, I'd be going all the time because I would want to support them. I would not use my Bitcoin, though, because, they're trying to steal my Bitcoin. I'd give them that dirty green paper.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. I think that's going to wrap us up. Awesome conversation. 59 minutes, approaching an hour on the dot. We really appreciate everybody tuning in from YouTube. Final ask, if you're interested more in Brian and his community, check out the link below for Momentum Moneymakers. Give us a like, subscribe, drop a comment after we're done the live here. We'll get back to you. And everybody listening, we always appreciate you as well. And we're going to see you guys later in the week for another live. I think Brendan's going to join us, and we'll do a lot of technical analysis and break down the rest of the week's news. But that's all for today. Hope you enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye, everybody.
Starting the year strong is easier and more delicious with Omaha Steaks premium prepackaged proteins. From handcrafted USDA certified tender steaks to gourmet burgers, versatile chicken and pork, and so much more. Omaha Steaks has unmatched variety and high-quality proteins that everyone loves. And right now, you can taste the difference and get an extra $35 off at omahasteaks.com with promo code AUDIO at checkout. Stay satisfied, get energy, and fuel your routine with premium prepackaged proteins from Omaha Steaks. Every steak is perfectly aged to maximize tenderness and hand-cut by master butchers in America's heartland, with every bite backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Let Omaha Steaks deliver high-quality proteins right to your door. Visit omahasteaks.com and get an extra $35 off with promo code AUDIO at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code AUDIO. Terms apply. See site for details.